You got to tune to the National News Show of Texas on this Monday, April 23rd. Thanks for joining us. I'm David Brown. If you ever find yourself spending an hour each day talking about Texas, you may find that a map can come in mighty handy. But Texas, there's a problem with our maps, or at least that's been the claim from the U.S. Justice Department and at least 10 different groups of plaintiffs and coalitions of Hispanic and African-American voters, all alleging that Texas's political maps are silencing the voices of minorities at the ballot box. At issue are districts that have been gerrymandered with boundary lines oddly shaped to gain political advantage. The last time these maps were drawn was after the last census in 2010, and there have been legal fights going on ever since. Now, let's be clear. Gerrymandering isn't illegal. Some people see it as dirty politics, but it's politics nonetheless, and the courts have been historically reluctant to force lawmakers to redraw maps just because they were drawn to favor one party or another. The High Court may be reconsidering that hands-off approach since the justices have agreed to hear two political gerrymandering cases, one from Wisconsin and another from Maryland this session. And yet the Texas case, to be argued tomorrow, is different because there's something else at play here, namely the issue of race and the question of whether the Republican-led legislature drew the boundaries of the state's legislative and congressional maps, intending to lessen minority voting strength. A whole lot's at stake because the court could not only order the state back to the drawing boards, that would be tough, but if there are findings of voting rights violations, the Lone Star State might once again be forced back into federal supervision of elections, a remedy forced on the state because of Texas's history of discrimination and only recently lifted. Constitutional law scholar Charles Rocky Rhodes teaches at the South Texas College of Law, Houston. Professor, welcome back.
Thanks for having me on the program, David.
Catch us up here. This is a redistricting case before the U.S. Supreme Court that involves maps drawn for Texas House seats and for U.S. House and Senate seats, right? We're talking about a legal challenge that began a long time ago.
Yes, the wheels of justice sometimes move very, very slowly because we're talking here about challenges to districts that were originally drawn in 2011, and we're now hearing in front of the United States Supreme Court in 2018.
It's amazing. At issue is what? Whether these maps were drawn with the intent to discriminate?
Yes, there's questions of both intent to discriminate and whether some of these maps had the effect of discriminating against racial minorities in ways that are prohibited both by the Constitution and by the Voting Rights Act.
How does the court go about determining whether there was an intent to discriminate if it's not explicit in the drawing of the maps?
It's a difficult process. The court looks at things like whether or not race was the predominant factor, and then looks at, was that based on the purpose of this? Was this based on the timing of how these maps were done? Is this based on how they were drawn, or they're drawn in strange shapes? And there's a very difficult line-drawing process. When you're dealing with race in redistricting, sometimes you have to keep minority groups together to ensure that they can elect the candidate of their choice. But on the other hand, you can't place minority groups into districts to try to either crack them, to keep them from being able to elect the candidate of their choice, or to pack them so that they are not able to influence other districts. And so there's kind of this very fine lines between what's required with respect to how you consider minorities in the redistricting process versus what's prohibited.
Interesting. You know, I'm taking a look at some of these maps that are specific congressional districts that have been red flagged by plaintiffs here. There's Congressional District 35, which is Lloyd Doggett's district, a Democrat. Federal judges said that was an impermissible racial gerrymander because lawmakers used race as the predominant factor in how it was drawn. And this is a kind of a classic gerrymander-looking district, the Salamander, right? It runs from San Antonio all the way up to Austin. If you look at just the map itself, because these districts really do seem to carve out areas, and you wonder, how does this bear any relationship to geography or anything else? How do you determine whether can you make a determination just looking at the shape of a district?
It's hard to do it just by the shape, but the shape is definitely a very strong factor unless there's other reasons for that very strange shape. But the shape is a very important factor. And so sometimes they'll look at, well, you're keeping communities of interest together. But, of course, that's not the case in Doggett's district at all, because you're two very different communities when you're bringing in San Antonio and Austin together. And those aren't really a politically cohesive group. And so the concern there is you're drawing this district specifically to try to essentially ensure that, you know, this district has enough minorities in it, but at the same time, not necessarily minorities that share the same kind of interest necessarily, because they're from two different communities.
I want to ask you to look into your crystal ball, if possible. I know you have a lot of those sitting around the law school. Looking at the Supreme Court, from what you've heard about previous arguments and the makeup right now, any idea of how they might be inclined to rule looking at these Texas maps?
Well, you know, one thing that's in Texas's favor to keep the maps as they are is that the Supreme Court did grant a stay. The lower three district judge court that had invalidated the maps wanted Texas to change them immediately. Mm-hmm. And the U.S. Supreme Court jumped in 5-4 and said that, no, we're going to put that on hold. And so you can essentially continue the elections with this for 2018. And so that kind of gives some indication that the Supreme Court is at least concerned that the lower court improperly construed some of their precedents in striking these maps down. But it, again, as in a lot of these cases, I think it's going to come down to the vote of Justice Kennedy. And it wouldn't surprise me if the Supreme Court narrows which districts are needed to be invalidated, but yet at least finds some of the Texas map is improper.
Professor, is there any reason to think that a ruling here could have more broad implications outside the state of Texas, or are we really talking about how it'll impact Texas?
I think there's both concerns. I think that the Supreme Court right now has three cases before it respecting gerrymandering and drawing of these districts. Mm-hmm. This one from Texas, which of course is what we're concerned about, but another one in Wisconsin, another one in Maryland. And I think the trilogy of cases is going to have huge impacts going forward with respect to how this redistricting process is done in the future.
You mean perhaps may not be able to get away with as many odd districts as we used to?
I think that's very possible. Now, it also could end up being a dud where the U.S. Supreme Court says, well, we're going to just kind of stay out of this and let politics deal with it. So it's possible that we have kind of a new era in redistricting, but it's also possible that we end up kind of having more of the same for the rest, and we'll have these maps, and we'll start all this process again here when we have redistricting again in 2021.
Charles Rocky Rhodes is an expert in constitutional law at South Texas College of Law, Houston. Professor, thanks so much for speaking with us again on The Standard.
Thank you, David.